Recurring revenue has been a hot topic recently, but even before all the buzz, I've been a big fan. That's why in today's episode, I'm dishing out all my secrets on how to prioritize recurring revenue for five-figure months. I give real, tangible examples of how I've done this in both my former design studio and my coaching business to create more stability and predictability in my revenue. Not only that, but it's actually a lot simpler than you might think, and it's going to help you to scale with so much more ease. If you're ready to ditch the feast or famine cycle and create a steady stream of income that fuels your sustainable success, you won't want to miss this game-changing episode.
You're listening to One Simple Shift, and I'm your host, Amanda Joyce Weber, the mindset coach and business mentor that believes it is possible to have a beautiful, balanced life and a successful, thriving business. In fact, what if success wasn't as complicated as everyone was making it out to be? What if the magic formula you've been looking for has been you all along? Each week, I cut through the noise and bring you one simple, actionable mindset shift you can implement today to completely transform the way you show up daily and the results you see because of it. All success starts with the right mindset, and it's time that you create the life and business you've always dreamed of. Let's get started.
Hello, hello, my simple shifters. I hope you're having an incredible week. I am pumped for today's episode. Like, I really am very excited because I feel like this just makes so much sense to my business brain. And I have a feeling that after this episode, it's going to make a ton of sense to you as well. Now, not only do I want to say that I think recurring revenue is so much simpler than it gets built up to be, but it's also a strategy that will really help you to stack those client payments to create more stability in your business, to create more predictability in your business. And overall, I find that it really just helps clients to feel safer around money in general. So I'm pumped for you to really understand it today. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of how this can look and what it looked like in my previous design studio and also how it looks in my coaching business. And I really just want this to feel so much simpler to you because truly this is one of those ways where scaling gets to be simple. You get to stack client payments. You get to grow your income over time because of it. And recurring revenue can just be like so incredibly helpful on your business building journey. So that's what I want you to take away from this episode today. It's going to be so fun to talk about. And I have a feeling that it's just going to be so helpful in terms of you creating this in your own business as well. So the reason I wanted to record this episode is because I was actually having a conversation with one of my Made It Voxer coaching clients recently. And she and I were talking about being able to prioritize recurring revenue in her business in terms of the program that she is running, right? So what this typically looks like in some sort of coaching or consulting container is client enrolls, program is a set number of months, and over that period of time, the client is making monthly payments. Now, typically, you've probably experienced this before where when you've enrolled in a program or service that has been a bigger investment, you've probably been given the option to make a payment plan and select that at checkout, right? So oftentimes, if you're spending like thousands of dollars, people don't expect you to pay in full and they will give the option for a payment plan, which can be really helpful as a business owner because you probably have a good idea as to what your cash flow looks like and you can look at your current cash flow and say, okay, is this an investment that I can make? So for example, let's just use some numbers here. Let's say you're making $5,000 months in your business and you're hiring support to help you get to those 10K months. Now, if you are hiring someone for $1,000 a month, it's really easy for you to say, okay, that makes sense. I can see how I am making 5K months. Now it's going to look like 4K months. This is assuming you don't have other expenses, which you probably do, but bear with me for the sake of this example. And I can easily make that payment. I know that I'm good for it. I know that I can safely invest in this service. So that's really helpful for you from a planning perspective, because you know how much you're bringing in. You know that you're going to have that 1K in expenses, and you know that you can afford to make that investment. Now, if you are investing in a program for 6 months, and let's just say for easy math again, that's $1,000 a month for 6 months. If someone said, join my program at $6,000 and you're bringing in $5,000, you're probably in a situation where you're like, ugh, I don't know. I don't know if I could do that because I'm only bringing in 5K months. So unless you've been really good at saving or you've been really good at having cash on hand, essentially, that may not be something you can invest in. Payment plans make that so much easier, right? Because you know that even if it's that same $6,000, $1,000 over the span of 6 months is much easier for you and your cash flow, right? Amazing. I hope you're hanging with me so far. Now, what this means from you as the business owner, from your perspective, is that you can offer your clients the same ability to pay you in that way, right? So whether you're a coach, a copywriter, a designer, a consultant, insert thing here, a social media manager, you likely have some sort of monthly payment option for your clients so that one, they can pay based on their cash flow, and two, you can better plan your income. So those are two really big benefits, both from the service provider perspective and from the client perspective. And I think it's really helpful to see this from both sides because most of us have probably experienced it in one way or another, right? So when you are prioritizing recurring revenue, every time you sign a client in your business, you are stacking those monthly payments. So that's awesome because it allows you to see how much money is coming in the future. One of the things that I give my Future You clients is a spreadsheet where they can literally plan out their income in terms of what they know they have coming in. So if they are projected to make $1,000 next month and $1,000 the month after that, there's literally a row for that on the spreadsheet where they can put in those numbers. Now, this is really helpful because a lot of times as your business grows, our brains are just bad at tracking these things, I guess is what I'll say. It's really hard for you to remember, okay, I have client number one and I have client number two. And oh gosh, there's that other person who booked an intensive, but they're on a payment plan too, right? So all of a sudden, this is really hard for us to keep in our heads. Even if you have a limited number of clients, I really encourage you, like, start that spreadsheet now. Start looking at your data, looking at your numbers on a monthly basis, and don't be afraid to write down your projected income. I think this is so fun. In both businesses, I have always had so much fun looking at projections because it really does help you to understand where you're at in business and how your business is growing over time. So this is really helpful to track. It's really helpful to take that data, put it in a spreadsheet, and literally list out your clients, client A, client B, client C. And if you have like January, February, March, April, May, June, and you know that you have $1,000 coming in per client, then literally put that in the spreadsheet for each of those clients. Because what's going to happen is as you enroll more clients with time, they're not always enrolling at the same time unless you have a very launch-based model or a very launch-based system, which means that those payments are coming in at different times. They're coming in on a different schedule. Maybe you have one client starting in January. You have another client starting in March. Maybe you're getting deposits in, right? So all of this to say, have a spreadsheet. I feel like we've been talking about spreadsheets a lot on the podcast recently, but this is one of those tools you can really lean on so that you can understand what income you have coming in. And it's really helpful as well because it's going to train your brain to think in this way, right? So let's get really specific with a few examples here because I think that just thinking through all of the mindset stuff that can come up when it comes to prioritizing recurring revenue is so helpful in actually putting the plan in place and actually making it feel more like a thing, right? So for example, I know in the design industry, it's really common to take like 50-50 payments from clients, right? So they pay 50% at the beginning when they sign on with you and they pay 50% at the end when you deliver said thing. So whether that's their branding or their website or whatever it is that you're delivering. Now that... I've done that. I did that in my design business for a little while. And I really quickly found that I actually much preferred having clients on payment plans. Now, this is really, really helpful for a few reasons. And I'll just speak to it from the design perspective first. And then we can talk about how it works in my coaching business as well. But when it comes to booking those higher ticket design projects, most clients didn't have like 8K just chilling, right? Most clients did prefer to have payment plans. And it was super useful because what would happen was payment number one would be charged, invoiced. There we go. Payment number one would be invoiced when they signed on for the project. And then what I would do is I would take the total length of the project, right? So sometimes for website projects, like if I was doing branding plus web, sometimes that was a 5-month project, right? But it was also a like big investment. So it made sense that clients were able to pay over a longer length of time. One, because it was taking me a longer length of time to do the project, but also because then they could pay in a way that wasn't tied to a certain deliverable or a certain date, right? So I think a lot of times what can happen, especially in the design world with payments, is that second 50% can really be in limbo for quite a while, especially if you're waiting for client feedback, if you're not ready to deliver the files yet, they're waiting on the copywriter, they're waiting on the photo shoot, like insert thing here, it just can get pushed back again and again and again. So the nice thing about payment plans, and I always drafted this up both in the proposal and in the contract, but I said that payment plans are not tied to a certain deliverable or delivery date. So the good news was, even if their copywriter was taking their time getting the copy to us for a website, the client was still on the same payment plan. They were still on that 5-month payment plan because it wasn't tied to the final delivery. Now, of course, it was written in there that I was going to deliver everything that I said I was going to. That was never in question. However, when you're able to say, hey, this project's going to take 5 months, so what I do is I divide the total payment by the number of months that we're working together to make those payments more doable, essentially, and to really keep us on schedule, that's really, really helpful, right? Because then the client knows exactly when they're being charged each month, when they're expected to pay each month. It's not tied to, you know, whether you've turned around concept one or two yet, right? So it really allows you to almost treat payment as payment and projects as projects. So it isn't as tied up in that. And I really, really appreciated that when I was designing because it allowed me to focus on the design work. It allowed me to focus on the projects without being like, oh my gosh, I have to wrap this up so that I can get paid for it, right? Because that's never like a fun pressure to have in your business. And I think that it just was helpful for clients too, because they just knew the predictability of it. I think as humans, we just do so well with that predictability. So if they knew, okay, Amanda's payment is due on the first, clients were very rarely ever late on payment because they just knew it was like a recurring thing. Like they knew they were paying monthly. They knew they were on a payment plan. It just like ran so beautifully and so seamlessly. I really recommend this to like all of my clients who are designers. This is how I recommend they structure their payments because it just worked so well for me when I was in my design studio. Clients really enjoyed it. Like I've just seen so many benefits to it there. So the other nice thing is, let's say you have two website packages. You could do like a really simple pared down website package, and you can also do this one that's like branding and website and like all these other things, but it's a much higher price point, right? So those payments are going to look different. So maybe one of them is like 2 months long and it's like two $500 payments. And then you have a client on the bigger one and they're paying you monthly for 6 months on $1,000 payments, right? Then you can go into your spreadsheet and you can be like, cool, client A, $500 this month, $500 next month, client B, $1,000 for the next 6 months. So it allows you to see where you might have these longer gaps or these gaps in income, because that's typically what I find leads to that kind of feast or famine cycle, because we're not looking ahead enough to prioritize that. We're not looking ahead and going, okay, I really need to get a client through the door in X month because I can see how I only have projects lined up until Y, right? When your brain can look far enough ahead to see that, even if it's subconscious, you're going to be taking more action toward getting those projects lined up, getting that next client through the door, really prioritizing those sales actions by way of knowing whether you're hitting your income goal or not until that month, right? So I think this is so helpful for a few reasons. One, I think when we don't know or we're afraid to look, sometimes we think it's worse than it is, right? I see this all the time with clients, right? So sometimes people are dragging their feet on getting feedback back to you, or a project's moving really slow, so you just have like more free time. And all of a sudden, if your brain is used to being very busy and associates that busyness with having income flowing in, sometimes this can cause a bit of a mindset wobble, because all of a sudden you go, oh no, I don't have clients. I need clients. What's going on, right? So if you can pull up your spreadsheet and be like, actually, I'm like good for the next 5 months, it just gives you such a feeling of safety and stability in your business, because you can actually look at the data. You can actually look at what is coming in. When do you need to book that next client? Where do you need to prioritize your time? What sales actions do you need to be taking? Or are you just good and you can just kind of relax into having more time because you know that the numbers are in a good place? So it really does give you that tangible data. And at the same time, it's also very, very helpful for you to see how things have grown over time, right? I think that so often in business, unless we have those numbers written down, unless we can really see how things are growing, how many projects you've been booking, what those payments look like, all of that, it's really hard to know for sure, right? Like our brains totally play tricks when it comes to this stuff. So even if you feel like, oh my gosh, that was a lower month, like sometimes that can really cause a mindset wobble. Whereas if you can go back and look at your data and look at your spreadsheet and look at your recurring revenue and see, actually, it's been growing pretty steadily over time. So I'm probably in a good place. Like, yeah, maybe I need to take some more sales actions. Maybe I need to get that next client. Maybe I need to network a little more. Insert thing here. But it's so much more stabilizing to be able to make those decisions from that place of concrete data, right? So that was how I did it in my design business, was everyone was pretty much on a payment plan if it was a bigger project. I also prioritized retainers when I was in my design business. Now, having a client on retainer is such a beautiful thing. And retainer work is typically hourly. It's typically priced lower because someone is signing on for a block of hours per month, and they're really committing to that time. So it's usually a use it or lose it situation. And with that, they are saying, okay, I am committing to however many hours, 10 hours per month at X rate. And because they're making that commitment, it's typically priced lower than if you were to do a one-off project for them or if it wasn't a sort of like recurring agreement. And it's usually for a set number of months. So it could be 3 months, it could be 6 months, could be an entire year. It really depends on the service and your business and the client and all that kind of good stuff. However, with that, retainers were always so useful for me because, again, it allowed me to see how much money I had coming in month to month. Now, I know sometimes people are like, oh, but I don't want to do hourly work and I don't want to trade time for money and I don't want insert thing here, right? Like there's a lot of mindset gunk that can come up in this. Now, when it comes to retainers, I highly, highly, highly recommend tracking your hours, right? And the reason I say this is because if you don't track your hours, then someone is always getting screwed. Like, I don't want to put it lightly. That's exactly how it works, right? Because if you're just saying, okay, well, they're 10 hours per month, but I don't really track them. I just kind of do whatever comes my way. And like, it's probably fine. Then you are probably one, either one, investing a whole lot more time that you're not being paid for, or two, your client is paying a whole lot more than they should be, right? And that doesn't feel like an even energy exchange for either of you, and it's not going to feel good in the long term. So with retainer clients, I always, again, had a spreadsheet and I would track it. I really would. I had my timer going. I think I used Toggle at the time. I had my timer going. And at the end of each week, I would list out the project and I would list how much time it took me, and then I would list the total for the week. This was a spreadsheet that the client had access to. They could pull it up at any time. I didn't like report time in any way, just because it wasn't really necessary. They weren't like micromanaging on it. However, I can also see where that's really helpful too. So let's say you're a virtual assistant. Like sometimes it's really helpful as a business owner to know like how much time did my virtual assistant spend in the business this week? Because then I can properly prioritize where their time and effort should be going in terms of what's most important, what needs to happen first. Like sometimes that data is really valuable to have. So I say that to be like, don't be turned off if your client wants a report each week of how much time you spend. It's really just a better way of being able to prioritize business activities, honestly, to be able to understand like where are the resources going and does this make the most sense too. But highly recommend tracking your hours if you are on that kind of hourly retainer. And again, I think sometimes people are like, oh, but like I'd rather have a set rate. And that's fine. Don't get me wrong. Like if you can come up with a way where there are a set number of deliverables and that is on retainer each month, like I've done that with copywriters before. So it's X number of emails per month and they charge X for that. And that has always worked out beautifully. But I do think that being really clear on that and feeling really clear on that is super, super important. But again, retainers are beautiful, absolutely beautiful for prioritizing recurring revenue. Because then you have a few clients on retainer, you know how to expect that money. And then there isn't that much pressure or as much pressure around booking projects. It's just a huge amount of turnover if the only way that you can make money is by booking project after project after project after project, right? Some people really enjoy working in that way. I can tell you, I am not that person. I never really appreciated working in that way. But I think that this is so helpful because then you can have that sort of basis and that foundation, and you can know that like your minimums are met in your business with retainers or with those kind of stacked client payments, even if they're projects, right? And then you can know like, okay, it would be great if I signed an intensive this month. It'd be great if I signed a like 1 week package instead of like a full on project, right? Like it helps you to see what your availability is as well as how getting more money through the door is important in which month, if that makes sense. It's no secret that I am a huge believer in one-on-one personalized mindset and sales support. Not only have I seen the difference that the right coaching support has made in my own business and growing from zero to six figures, but I also have seen it take clients from, I don't know why this isn't working, to, I had three sales calls today and they all booked. The truth is that when you're so close to your own business, it can be really hard to spot your own mindset blocks and patterns. AKA, you can't see the forest from the trees. That's why so many people fall into the trap of going through the motions, trying different things, buying different courses, hoping that one day something will click and lead to the massive growth that they've been craving. But it hardly ever works that way. I probably don't have to tell you that if what you're doing now isn't feeling good, then it's likely not going to lead to the results you want, no matter how hard you try. And believe me, you are trying. Now through next Friday, March 22nd, I'm opening up three spots for one-on-one Made It Boxer coaching support in a three-month container. So you have the support to get big results with a smaller price tag. It's time to have me in your corner to help you find what to shift and how, so business can feel not only better, but also get bigger results like more clients and cash because of it. It's time to feel like you've made it. Okay, that is the design business. Let's talk about the coaching business, right? So same thing holds true here. Most of my coaching clients are on payment plans, right? And this is super helpful because they know exactly what to expect to pay month over month over month. Now, that gets a little different when it comes to revenue share, which is 10% of new revenue paid through our work together. But that's always in proportion to how much new revenue they're bringing in. So even that has a certain level of predictability to it because they know it's always that 10%. And it's always going to be in relation to the money, the new money that comes in. So that is also very easy to account for. So that's really helpful when it comes to my coaching business. And it's quite literally how I've built this coaching business, because then I know exactly when client payments are coming in and I can plan, right? I can project what my revenue is going to be. I can see when people are rolling on and off. I can see when spots are opening. Now, I will say that many of my clients work with me for a year or more. So can I 100% without a doubt absolutely know that a client is rolling off or a client is going to renew? No, of course not. Do I sometimes have a hunch? Yes, of course. But I think that it's really helpful to just know that sometimes you are going to have to make an educated guess in terms of clients renewing, in terms of when you're going to have spots available. But again, knowing what your recurring revenue looks like is really helpful in that, because if you know your goal is to hit those five-figure months, you can see exactly how many clients it's going to take in order for that to happen. I was having a conversation with one of my Made It clients about this recently, and we were talking about like how long it takes to get to those consistent 5K months. And then we were talking about how long does it take to get to those consistent 10K months. And I was saying that having longer packages is sometimes the first step, even before you raise your rates. Now, what I mean by that is, I think that in the beginning, well, I can speak about this in my business, right? In the beginning of my coaching business, I think I was charging like $500 a month. And I think I had everyone on 3 month Future You packages. Now, I learned a lot in doing that. And I, of course, now have 6 month Future You packages and my rates have gone up and all of that kind of good stuff. But it was really useful in the beginning for me to have that lower price point because it was much easier, yes, for people to step into. But two, I got to see what it was like to work in that 3 month container. Now, over time, I extended that container to be longer. And that really helped me to stack those client payments because it meant that I didn't have to sign clients as frequently. So I think that even if you think about this, let's say you're on a 3 month coaching package with your clients, right? Even if you were to extend that to 4 months, you would have one less renewal period with clients per year, which is kind of cool to think about because it means that you're essentially like extending the length of time that people work with you. And that can be helpful because it makes it easier to stack. You know that you have clients for that length of time. Insert thing here, right? So a lot of times if clients are hesitant to raise their rates, they feel like they're in a good spot, but they're really wanting to make more in their business, sometimes what I'll suggest is to actually just lengthen the container, right? Now, that's very cool in a few different ways. And one of those ways is that it actually gives clients a longer amount of time to get results. So I was saying this to my client in the Made It Coaching Container, which is my 3-month Voxer coaching container, where you and I really do the mindset and sales work for you to feel like you've made it. I am so freaking passionate about this container because I feel like when I felt like I actually had made it was when I learned how to close clients again and again and again. And that was really so empowering for me because I felt like sales wasn't a fluke anymore. I felt like I actually had the mindset to know how to get clients and to do that again and again. And quite honestly, that very first client, when I was like, oh my gosh, this is not a fluke. I know how to do this. I know I can do this again. And I know exactly how this happened, right? That's when I really felt like I had made it, right? Because I knew that I could keep going. I knew that I knew how to sign clients. And that was just like the best feeling in the world. So that's where that name comes from. But anyway, so one of my clients in this Made It Coaching Container was saying that she wanted to like stack client payments, that it wasn't really feeling very feasible to hit the income goal that she desired from where she was. And we actually had this whole conversation about how we could extend the length of her package because she actually felt really good at the rate that she was at currently. And I think that this is so helpful because then one, there's more opportunities for clients to get results in that container, right? Being by someone's side for 6 months can be really useful because then it feels like they've had that support to have a lot come up in their business, I guess is what I'll say, right? Like they've had that support over that longer period of time. And with that longer period of time, typically comes better results. So it can be beneficial on both sides, both for you as the service provider, but also for the client as well in terms of having that longer support. So it was just one of those things where as we were talking through it, as we were talking about her program in particular, it just made sense for her to extend that length of the container, which consequently also makes it easier for her to meet those income goals that she has because she doesn't have to enroll as many clients in order to hit the income that she wants because she knows that she has like longer 6-month contracts, right? So that was the mindset around that was sometimes you don't even need to raise your rates. Sometimes you literally just need to not have to sign a client like every other day to make it work. Now, I'm exaggerating here. That wasn't the case for her. But I do think that sometimes it really helps to look at your offers. Like look at your offer suite. Are you set up strategically in a way that prioritizes recurring revenue? And is that actually realistic for you? Is it realistic for you to sign a client as frequently as you would need to in order to hit that income goal? And if the answer is no, then there's definitely something strategic to look at there because I think that this is one of those pieces that gets so often missed and people just assume that they're going to have to sign like 47 clients to hit their income goal. And they don't recognize that that's a lot of work, right? So all of this to say, sometimes extending that container can be super helpful. And it isn't always a rate increase or like increasing the price of the offer that you have to look at there. Now, I want to say this before we wrap up this episode, because I actually think this is super important. This is not to say that pay in full is a bad thing. I'm a huge fan of pay in full, right? Like, I love it. It's great. I love those cash injections. I have no problem with clients paying more. Like, that's never an issue for me. But it is to say that if you are someone who knows that you like having that recurring income, this is really something to look at in your business. And quite honestly, even if you do get those pay infos and you do get those cash injections, if you're good with your spreadsheet, if you're good at saving your money, then you can just put that in a separate savings account. You can pull it out as you would if you were being paid monthly by the client, right? So I know some people do that and they absolutely love that method. And it basically just feels the same as if you're being paid on a monthly payment plan by the client, but you feel like you're getting paid monthly. And I think sometimes that just feels better for people, right? So this is not to like talk down on pay in full. I love pay in full. My first 10K cash month happened because of a pay in full, right? Like pay in fulls are amazing. And I also know that sometimes that can cause some of those wobbles because you feel like you got all of this money at once, but then you feel like, oh my gosh, but you know, the following months are lower and all of that. So this is to say you have options for how you prioritize recurring revenue. You have options for how to look at this. It really just, again, goes back to having a system in place for it. Create the spreadsheet. I swear it's like so, so helpful. And just being able to like trust yourself to look at the spreadsheet, know what those numbers are, prioritize recurring revenue in your business, all that kind of good stuff. And it can just be so incredibly helpful. So I hope that helped to clarify so much for you. I feel like I get asked these questions all the time, both in Future You Coaching and in my Made It Voxer Coaching Container. I get asked in my consistent clients intensives. I feel like recurring revenue just comes up in so many different ways. And it's just so helpful to know how other businesses handle it, how other businesses think about handling it, and whether it's something you really want to prioritize in your own business. Again, nothing wrong with pay in fulls. If you're someone who really likes a launch model and really likes having those big income months followed by smaller income months, like that's not bad. It's still like cash is cash, guys. But it's really helpful for you to understand what is important to you, right? Are you someone who really likes to have that recurring revenue, really likes to stack those client payments, really likes to see, okay, I can see that for the next 6 months, I'm making five-figure months, and then I'm going to need to enroll new clients. Like, if that sort of predictability in your schedule is helpful for you, then by all means, like prioritize recurring revenue. If you're someone who's like, I don't really care, it's money, you know, then that's fine too. Like there's no one right way here, which I think is really helpful just to hear. I think a lot of people know that, but sometimes it's just helpful to hear it. And ultimately, I think that this is just all boils down to revenue projections, right? Is really the big thing here. I think a lot of people feel more stable in their business when they know how to project for the revenue that's coming in. So that's all we're saying here, essentially, is yes, if you like having that recurring revenue, you like signing 6 month contracts, you like knowing how long you're working with clients, when they're rolling off and on, great. If you're someone who's like, I'm good. that's not as important to me, then it doesn't have to be, right? So all of this to say, look at your offers, make sure that if you are someone who does want to prioritize recurring revenue, that you make it really clear and easy for clients to pay you on payment plans so that you can stack those payments. And over time, you're going to see the more clients you book, the more those payments stack, the closer you get to those five-figure months. And ultimately, you're just going to find like over time, you'll stack to a place where consistent five-figure months are the thing for you. So I think that's really cool to see as well. So I hope this conversation was super, super helpful for you. As always, if you loved it, I would love to hear it. Screenshot this episode, share it out on Instagram stories. Be sure to tag me at Amanda Joyce Weber. I love resharing those. It makes me so happy to see you listening and tuning in week after week. And if you have any questions that I didn't cover in this episode, about recurring revenue, reach out. I always love to hear from all of you. And I think it's just so helpful to have these conversations around money because I think unless we do that, it's really easy to think that there's some secret or there's something that you must be doing wrong or you're just not getting. And the truth is that this is actually really simple when you get to the bottom of it and when you are able to understand exactly how it works. And I hope this episode did that for you. So that is what I have for you today. I hope you have an amazing week. Oh, last thing, I wanted to remind you that doors are officially open for my Made It Boxer Coaching Container. This is my 3-month container where you and I really work to shift your mindset and sales strategy so that you can land more consistent clients in your business, know how to sell on repeat, stack those recurring payments, and ultimately grow your business and feel like you've made it. So I would absolutely love to support you in that. If you have questions, again, send me a DM, reach out, would love to answer those for you. And yeah, I have been loving this container. I can't even tell you how fun it has been for me to coach in that container and to be able to support people in that way. When I started the Made It Boxer Coaching Container, I really wasn't sure how I was going to feel about it. It kind of felt like an experiment. And I have just found that I love it. My clients have been loving it. It is such a great way to be coached, especially if you're someone who doesn't want to have to sit down for weekly calls or doesn't feel like you need that level of support. It's really an amazing container that can help you to get big results with a smaller price tag. And that's just fun in itself. So if you're curious about that, I have it linked up in the show notes. And you can go check it out and learn more there. But yeah, I mean, clients have been finding that they're setting bigger goals with that support. They're surpassing their goals with that support. We're going to talk about that in the next episode. And one of my clients just landed a 2K client in that container, like amazing results, so fun. And it is just such an incredible opportunity. So if you're interested in that, be sure to go check it out. Okay, that's all I got for you today. I am late for my nail appointment, so I'm gonna go do that now. And I will talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to One Simple Shift. Check out the show notes for this episode and all past episodes at amandajoyceweber.com/onesimpleshift. If you're loving this podcast, do me a favor and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. These reviews truly mean the world to me, helping me to reach more people and have more impact. And as a special thanks, we'll reach out to everyone that leaves a review and you'll receive my absolutely free life and business changing Future You meditation. This mindset exercise is the simplest, easiest way to tap into future you today and start being that woman now. I only wish I had a visualization exercise like this when I first started my business, and now it's available to all of you. Simply screenshot your review and email it to me at amanda@amandajoyceweber.com to receive your free meditation. And remember, sometimes the only thing standing in the way of a more profitable business and a more fulfilling life is one simple shift.
I probably don't have to tell you that if that's what you're... Okay, let's try this again. I probably don't have to tell you that if...